This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, it's official, officially, the Capitals have clinched a playoff spot. Thank you, New York Islanders. Thank you, Barry Trotz, for all of your hard work for not winning that game on Sunday. But the Capitals the Capitals have officially made it into the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. There will be some springtime hockey playing for the Washington Capitals, but who will be that opening round opponent? Joining me, as always, to talk all things about it, Coach Dan, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm tired. That's about it. I'm tired. I'm here.
Are we all?
We all are, yeah. It's cold. Why is it still so cold here in Maryland? It is almost May.
There's a freeze warning tomorrow morning.
I know. This is insane. It is far too cold out, but it does feel like some hockey weather, and that's what we're here to talk about. So let's talk about it. The Caps, they have clinched a playoff spot. I think it's been almost like a month and a half of us doing these shows where there wasn't really a doubt, I would say, that the Capitals would be making it into the playoffs. It really just was what spot that's going to be. And even with this week, that's still up in the air. We still don't know that. All we know is that officially they will be going to the playoffs.
Yeah, buddy.
And I'm excited. It's good. They've had some really good hockey. They've had some really bad hockey since we talked last. I think a game against the Colorado Avalanche, who have completely dominated this year, number one team in the entire NHL, who have just, before the Caps came in, what, eight losses at home. They only had eight wins. They would not be the number one team in the NHL. Eight losses at home, and the Capitals were able to add to that number with a fantastic win, some all-around great play from the guys you expect, like Alexander Ovechkin, and some great plays from guys like Garnet Hathaway. But that really did feel like a team that was ready for the playoffs and ready to show off, because this team, I mean, we've seen it in the past where once they hit a certain spot, they clinch a spot, they kind of stop playing. But this game in Colorado, they had already clinched a spot, and then they go to Colorado, and they come out, and they are guns a-blazing, and they're having a good time, and they're playing some great hockey.
I mean, this is a team right now that has stepped up, for the most part. I mean, the last couple of games have been good for the most part. There's been a little bit of weirdness in terms of they blew out the Flyers 9-2, they got blown out by Toronto 7-3, and then they blew out Montreal 8-4. And you're looking at, well, they beat up on Philly and Montreal, two teams not going to the playoffs. They struggled against a team that is going to the playoffs in the Toronto Maple Leafs. But then they went up against Colorado, who right now, let me double check that, they are statistically the best team in the league. They have the most points at 116. And they went into Colorado, mind you, and beat them. And that was certainly something that I don't think anybody really expected. I think we all expected that to be kind of a loss to the best team in the league, but the Capitals showed that they can hang with the best teams in the league and come away with a win. Now it's just one game. It doesn't necessarily mean that this is, you know, they're the best team in the league now. Like, that's not how it works, but they
yes,
played
it
a
is.
Really good game.
That's how it is. We're the best now.
So to go into the, you know, you want to go into your remaining games in this season. They've got, how many they have left now at this point? They got one, two, three, six games left. You want to go into your final six games. You want to go in, now that we know they're in the playoffs, you want to go into the playoffs on a high note and playing your best hockey. And I think that's what we're seeing right now. And this is a team that not only is playing really good hockey, but has an opportunity to continue to climb up the standings a bit. And maybe they move out of that wild card spot. I mean, they're only a point behind the Penguins right now. And they're a point behind Boston, though they played one more game than Boston. But they're a point behind them. They've played what? One less game than Pittsburgh. And like I said, only one point behind them. So if they win that game in hand, they're now ahead of them. And they're potentially facing the Rangers in the first round. not Florida or Carolina, who are currently the top two teams in the Metro. Though, technically, the Rangers could end up being the top team in the Metro, and they could still end up seeing Carolina. So there's no, like, great thing, right? You know, once you get the playoffs, you're playing all good teams. So the question is going to be, not so much the question, what the Caps need to do is just continue winning or continue playing really good hockey. Try and get that better spot. You know, they're not going to get home ice advantage at any point in these playoffs. They have, right now, they're the, you know, if we go back the old way, they're the eighth seed right now. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything. That doesn't mean that they can't go and make a run in the playoffs. We've seen number eight seeds go and go on a really good run, and we've seen them win the cup. So you just have to get into the dance. You got to get in. You got to have the opportunity to play for Lord Stanley's Cup, and then anything can happen. And we'll see what happens, but they're turning up at the right time. You know, they've gone out and they've played some really good hockey. They played a little ugly against Toronto, but aside from that, they played some really good hockey, and they just have to keep it up.
They do, and according to ESPN, if you look at the matchups right now, it usually tells you the games remaining and against quality teams and all that stuff. According to the ESPN website here, games remaining for the Washington Capitals is zero, so this is all they have. This is it, apparently. So news to me, did not realize that. But
I mean, they've got some tough games left. They got Vegas, they got Toronto, and they got, what did I say? They had six left. Half of those are against playoff teams, and the other half are half of their games against New York-based teams.
Yeah, so
they got the Islanders twice and the Rangers, but then they've got Arizona and the Islanders, so they have three games left against playoff teams and three games left against teams that aren't making the playoffs.
So Vegas is actually in the hunt right now. They are trailing Dallas by 4 points. They are having a bit of a skid. They lost to the Devils on Monday, so this is a perfect time for the Capitals to make some points up that maybe they didn't get early in the year and potentially skip over Pittsburgh and the Penguins. If they were to win against Vegas, they would actually propel themselves above the Pittsburgh Penguins into the third spot of the Metro. And both teams would then have five games left in their season to remain out of wild card position. So there's still a lot of hockey to be played and a lot of things could change. But this Wednesday game up against the Stanley Cup final opponents that we had in 2018 just became a little bit bigger, because if the Caps win, they can jump themselves over their rival. And if Vegas wins, they could potentially come two more points closer to Dallas. Right now, they're in the hunt. They want to be in those Stanley Cup playoffs, and right now, they're not.
Yeah, and I got it wrong. So it's 4-2. Four teams out of the playoffs, two teams in, but one of them is pushing to get in. And I think right now, the Caps need to look at getting the best, or as many points as possible. You know, the odds of them catching Boston with Boston having a game in hand is a little bit less, but you know, they could go on a bit of a skid over their last 10. They're only 5-5, so there's an opportunity to push ahead of them, and maybe you get a better wild card matchup than being the eighth seed. But, you know, right now the goal is to kind of get to where the Penguins are at. You want to get into the top three in the Metro, and so you're staying in the division. You're avoiding a team that's really good, everybody's really good, but you're avoiding Florida, who right now are running away with the Eastern Conference and fighting with Colorado for that President's Trophy. So we'll kind of see what happens going forward.
Does Florida remind you of, like, the 2009, maybe 2008, 2009 Washington Capitals? A lot of youth, a lot of inexperience, a lot of fast hockey, but then once they get into the playoffs, kind of sputter out.
Well, you can say the same thing about Colorado to an extent.
Sure, yeah.
In terms of just, you know, they have younger players, they have really fast players. So, I think that every year is different. I think you take that Caps team. Well, I don't know. I mean, if you take that Caps team from 2009 and put them into today's NHL, one, are they, you know, kind of blown everyone away in the same way they kind of did then and then choke in the playoffs? You know, do they do better in the playoffs now with teams getting, you know, faster? I think that team might do better nowadays than they did back then. But, you know, it's one of those things that we're never going to know.
Now, you're saying every single team that makes it into the playoffs is good, and I completely agree with you. However, for the sake of the podcast, there's potential of meeting Carolina, Florida, or the New York Rangers in the first round. Do you have a preference of who that might be? Because I can tell you right now,
no.
All three teams do look scary, but the Rangers, of all teams, they're the ones that scare me the most.
Interesting. Why the Rangers?
Well, like I said, with Florida, it seems like this team is very inexperienced, very young, and can make a lot of those mistakes like we have seen in Caps past. Carolina, there's a history there, so I feel like the Capitals kind of know that team really well. We saw them earlier, what was it, in March? The end of March on a Friday night, the Capitals and Carolina having an absolutely fantastic game, Caps being able to own that one. But the Rangers, they've got, you know, the number one draft pick from just, a year or two ago, and they have some amazing goaltending. One of the best goaltenders, you know, around, a guy that, you know, took Henrik Lundqvist's job. So I think that team really could go a very long way in this playoff. I think the Rangers are kind of like a sleeper right now. Not a lot of people are talking about them, and I think people should be, because they do have the youth, but they also have some veteran leadership, and they also have what really saves you in every game is goaltending, something the Capitals right now are still lacking.
The Rangers I always found interesting because after they embarrassed themselves towards the end of last season with the Tom Wilson thing, and they put out that thing basically saying the
horrific acts of violence.
The horrific acts of violence again. I mean, calm down. But they've had an amazing season. And credit to them, credit to their front office, credit because they rebuilt that team to an extent with a couple of gutsy moves. And it worked out well for them. You know, but it's tough to say exactly what's going to happen in the future. We don't know. Look at Montreal. Last year, they were in the Cup Finals, and this year, they are garbage. So, who knows? It could just be they had a hot season. We don't know.
Was that only last year? Was that really only last year?
Holy cow. Well, a lot's happened between then and now in the world. But it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think the Caps can match up against any one of these teams, but that's if they're playing at their best, which, let's be fair, you have to do to win in the playoffs, no matter what. You know, maybe not every game, but if you're going into a 7-game series, you need to be at your best for 5 of them, because you're going to lose one of those games that you're at your best. Maybe 6 of them, you know, because the other team, they also want to win. There's 16 teams that make the playoffs. Only one of them gets to hoist the cup. So if you want to have that opportunity, you have to be at your best almost every night. You can have one stinker, which still could cost you the series. So, you know, we talk about these young teams. Carolina's had plenty of experience in terms of in the playoffs. The Rangers have to an extent. You know, I don't think there's one team in particular I'd like to see. I just want to see. I think part of that actually is because I just don't know what I'm going to get from this Caps team. You know, I don't feel like there's a team that we match up against where I'm going, all right, we got these guys definitely. Because we don't have the goaltending necessarily where I can sit there and go, okay, we match up, because let me just look at how our offense is and how our defense plays. It's the Caps are going to go as far as their goaltending allows them to. These guys are young in the hockey sense, really in the real world. They're young, inexperienced goaltenders, and the team's only going to go as far as they take them. If they have a stinker, even in the whole, you know, throughout a series, they're done. They don't have a veteran to back, you know, to fall back on and go, hey, can you stop the bleeding? Where maybe we just have to outscore the other team. Because we've seen if this team is off, they give up a lot of goals.
Yeah, I like what you said, that we have to score a lot of goals, because we've kind of seen those middle lines, you know, 2 and 3, not really doing that great. But we saw a little bit better this past week. You know, we've seen some of the other players, Anthony Mantha kind of waking up when he was in Toronto. We saw TJ Oshie kind of looking good. Marcus Johansson got his second goal. So it is that middle of the pack lines, those second and third liners that are they're scoring goals right now, which is what you want. You need all four lines to do their jobs. You need all four lines to score. It can't just be Ovi. And luckily right now we are seeing that from the Capitals moving into the playoffs. So that's a really good thing. But like you said, the goaltending still very much an issue here. Ilya Samsonov, he did look good in Colorado, and then go a couple days before that in Toronto, he has to end up getting pulled in that game. So again, it's the streakiness. It's this this Jekyll and Hyde of this team, especially with this goaltending. I was a little surprised with the way that Sammy had played in Toronto, that they went with Sammy in Denver as well for the Colorado game. I figured that would have been VTech, but I don't know. Maybe they just went with Sammy for some unknown reason. But goaltending, still an issue, still undecided. We still don't know what this team is going to do about that in the playoffs. Can these guys split it? Is there a clear number one? I don't know. I think we're still in the dark about that.
And I wonder, I don't know if I wonder, I think it has to be. It's the hot hand. So if someone has a bad game and the other guy comes in and does halfway decent, the other guy's starting the next game. And I don't see that as a way to win, but sometimes new things work. You know, that's how we change. That's how we evolve. We try new things, and sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. And when it comes to the Capitals, I think they have two options. You have a starter that does really well and carries you through the playoffs, or you keep flipping back and forth with the hot hand. But that, from what we've seen, what we have seen statistically and what we have seen throughout history, that is a much riskier move. But I don't think they have a choice right now. That's the thing. And I wonder if that means that they go into the offseason and they're looking for a goalie. And I don't know who it is. I'm trying to figure out how to look that up right now. But I remember, I looked it up last time we were recording. And, you know, Fleury's scheduled to be a free agent, but he, you know, it sounds like he has no interest in coming to D.C. But right now, the guy with the most wins that's scheduled to be a free agent is Darcy Kemper out of Colorado. And he's got 36 wins this season, it looks like, if this website's correct. That being cap friendly, which I have no reason to believe that it's not. You know, but he's going to command probably a pretty high salary. And I don't know how much money the Caps can throw at a goalie. That's the problem.
Yeah, so, I mean, they've got a lot of money that they're going to have to deal out next offseason.
And I would imagine Colorado might be trying to, unless they have re-signed him and I just completely missed it, or they haven't. I don't know. I don't really follow Toronto very closely, but I have to imagine they're going to want him back. Probably, right? You'd think so. So, and you got Jack Campbell in Toronto. He's 30, but is he really a starter? He's only got, he's got 29 wins. You know, are they going to try and re-sign him? Mikko Koskinen, but he's in Edmonton, but that, you know, he isn't exactly doing great. Edmonton's been struggling. You know, do they roll with the guys they've got? Not to mention the fact that they need to re-sign both of these guys this offseason. So it just gets more and more interesting as they go forward. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up trading for a goalie.
Is that Braden Holtby guy still out there?
Well, I've heard he's available, and he's had an okay season. But I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to go and trade for someone that can kind of settle down the goaltending department for a little bit until the other guy that they hang on to plays a bit better.
It's crazy the amount of time we have dedicated to the goaltender situation that during this podcast, during this season. I figured at this point, 70-some-odd games in, we would have a clear-cut number one, but we still don't.
And now, and it's, you know, it's a risk whenever you go with a young guy. I mean, we were lucky for a long time because we had Kolzig.
I don't think that that was the plan. I mean, the plan was always Lundqvist, at least for last year. Have Lundqvist come in and then show Sammy how to do his thing, and then Lundqvist had heart surgery.
Yeah, but even then you can't trust that he's just going to do, like, even then they can't trust that Samsonov's going to be the man. You know, and so I think they went into, and even ignoring last season, going into this season, they went with these two guys. And I think as Caps fans, we've been lucky in terms of we've had relatively, you know, solid goaltending since Kolzig left. You know, we had Kolzig, and then we had a mixture of like Cristobal Huey for that one end of the season, and he didn't come back, and they signed Jose Theodore, and he played
three
well
or more.
Enough. Yes, there is a bit of that. But he, you know, did what he had to do for a while, and that seemed to be working out to an extent. And then, you know, we've had
Nuvi
some run of some
Varley
young guys.
And Vokoun.
But a lot of those things were working, that we were in a situation where we had these two young goalies that you're not really sure what you're going to get for them night in, night out. And if I'm the general manager of this team, I'm going into the offseason going, I'm not sure if I want to do that again with an aging roster and one of the best players to ever play the game, certainly some of the best players to ever put on a Capitals jersey. Do I want to risk their remaining years and an opportunity for them to win a Stanley Cup with question marks around one of the most important positions for an NHL team? Do they move out some commodities, some of their draft picks, some of their young players, probably one of these young goalies, to acquire a goalie who's more at the top of his game? You know, he's too expensive, but Carey Price is certainly a name that I imagine will be talked about in terms of trades this offseason, but I don't want that cap hit because it's like $6 million, and they have enough issues in terms of needing to re-sign guys.
It was good to see Carey Price back on the ice, and it was nice to see Lars Eller and Alex Ovechkin kind of give him a stick tap and kind of chattering with him before the game in Montreal. I think it was the first time they had seen him in 2 years, 2.5 years, something like that.
Yeah.
So it was good to see him. We know Carey
Price.
Sorry,
$6 million, $10.5 million.
Yeah, he's not coming here. I know Tuukka Rask is retired, but maybe he can come back.
He's not. He wouldn't go anywhere but Boston.
Yeah. I don't know. We got a week and a half left of the regular season. We've got some teams here that are done. We got some teams in the hunt. And then we've got some teams that are sitting pretty. That last game against the Rangers, I'm wondering, is that going to be a game where we're going to see everybody, you know, gung-ho and ready for a big fight? Or is this going to be a game where, like, all the starters are sitting and it's going to be the Hershey Bears versus, I don't even know who the Rangers
It's the fourth game of the NFL preseason?
Yeah, like, are they
when they used to have four games?
Nobody get hurt at this point. I don't know. I'm kind of intrigued to see what that last game is going to be like.
I think it depends on where this stand. Like, if everything's set for the playoffs and they're not going up against the Rangers, then I think that is two teams trying to not have anybody get hurt.
Yeah.
And to an extent going through the motions. The risk you have there is that then you go into the playoffs slightly more rusty than you should be.
Right.
However, if they're going up against the Rangers in the first round,
a game of eight instead of seven,
they're fighting for, yeah, right. They're fighting for specific seeding, both of those teams, mind you. I think it's a bit more interesting. I think it's a bit more intense, and there's certainly a lot more energy in that game than there would normally be. So we'll wait and see. I think it's too early to say, even though it's what? A week and a half away?
Yeah.
We still have a very good opportunity to have so many different things that could happen in terms of the Eastern Conference, different matchups that the Capitals could theoretically have.
So the cap season ends on April 29th. I know that they're making up, not the Capitals, pronouns, pal. The NHL is making up some COVID games at the end. So I think there are still some games at the beginning of May for some teams. But when do you think the earliest is going to be for the playoffs to start? You think it's going to be that Saturday? What is that, May 7th?
I have to look at the calendar to actually be able to tell you.
Well, if games keep going through like May 1st, do you think – I know May
well, I think
the 4th
there are games
Wednesday.
May 1st.
Yeah, so do you think they would start them that quickly, like May 4th, that Wednesday, 2 days later? Or would they actually give teams like 4 days of rest?
No, I think you could see Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay.
As like the first games. I would not at all be surprised. I think that makes sense. I mean, these teams, I would imagine, fly private anyway, so it's not like it's going to hurt them in terms of having a quick turnaround. And I mean, I'd have to look at the standings specifically in terms of other teams in like the West and stuff. And there's still probably plenty of movement. There is definitely plenty of movement. Well, no, Calgary's pretty much run away with the Pacific, but there's still possibilities of movement in some other spots. And so it could change things, but I think Wednesday, Thursday would be my guess.
Interesting. Okay.
Maybe they want to push it a day. They go to Thursday, but I think your first games are probably Thursday, if not Wednesday.
Just thinking May 4th, Capitals, A New Hope. Star
no,
Wars Day.
No, God, you dork.
There it is. There
no.
it is. What else is going on in Caps World?
Oh, let's see. Actually, this is pretty interesting. I forget who had tweeted this out. It might have been Russian Machine. For the first time since 1974, the Capitals' overall goal differential as a franchise is now on the plus side.
Well, that's good.
After the win over Colorado, as a franchise, they are a plus one in goal differential. Now, I imagine this happened a lot earlier, but those early Caps teams were bad. I mean, we weren't alive for that, but they were bad. So, obviously, probably for the next couple of years, it'll be like going back and forth in terms of how games go, but ideally this team will start to have a much higher goal differential as they go forward. Or at least that's the plan. I would hope that's the plan.
Look at all the things Ovi's been able to accomplish. I want to say it's all because of Ovi.
You know, sure.
Good chance.
He's certainly played his part.
Yeah, right.
I think that's fair to say.
And what, he's 2 goals away from another 50-goal season?
Yeah, isn't he? He got his 48th in Colorado.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's going to be crazy. I mean, how many players have ever done that?
You know, probably only a handful.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yep. Let's have to keep it going. Keep getting those wins. Keep getting points. Try and get the best seed possible. But it's the playoffs, so anything can happen. And it's not like they're looking for home ice advantage because they're kind of garbage at home.
Yeah, they got to be on the road. Play every game on the road. Don't play at all.
Capital One is not available. Sorry, we have to play all of the games in your rink.
Right, exactly. That's what's perfect. I love it. That's how they're
going to win. Unlike the Commanders, the opposing team will share the revenue with you.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that's an NHL requirement. I just wanted to throw that in there.
Governor Hogan said, no, I will not help you build a new stadium. So they are looking elsewhere.
Well, we'll see who's the owner of the team when they build said stadium.
That's true. All right, so is that it for what's going on in Caps World?
Yeah, I think it is, man.
All right. Well, hey, that's it for what's going on in Caps World. We'll see you in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Let's start in Hershey, where the Bears went 0-2-1 with a regulation loss to Lehigh Valley and Providence and an overtime loss to Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Bears are currently fourth in the Atlantic Division with 74 points, 2 up on fifth place Wilkes-Barre Scranton. But the Baby Pens have played 2 less games, so that is certainly a problem. They'll be back at it tonight against those Baby Pens before 3 games over the weekend, starting on Friday in Lehigh Valley before hosting the Flyers minor league affiliate on Saturday at the Giant Center, then hosting Syracuse on Sunday, which I believe wraps up their season. Regular season.
Wow.
Hopefully not their season.
True.
Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays' season came to an end with an overtime loss and a win over Norfolk. They end their season outside of the playoffs and ended up in last place in the South Division with 62 points, which was actually the second worst point total in the entirety of the poorly named ECHL.
Wow.
That's what's going on down on the farm.
Do you think that the Capitals, I mean, with that ending for the South Carolina Stingrays, they haven't really had much talent in South Carolina that is specific from, like, the Capitals farm? Do you think because it was such a poor season, they're going like, you know what? I think we should probably send some more talent down there. We should probably do a little bit more than we have.
They don't have anyone to send down, though.
They have no one? Like, no one? No, really?
Why would you? I mean, are you talking about just... The goal here is for your best players to play at the highest level possible based on their skill set and their development. And they just don't have anyone that's over in North America that's playing in the ECHL. But I haven't done the research. I don't know how many teams, NHL teams, have players and how many players are in the ECHL. I'm also not that worried about it because the Caps didn't have anybody down there.
Right.
So, you know. I feel like if you're a team that's rebuilding, you're more likely to have players down there, but it also depends who you're drafting. If you're drafting players from Europe, they're more likely to play, I would imagine, they're more likely to play in their home country's league until they're ready to come over and play in the NHL or maybe AHL. I mean, that's my guess. I just don't think we're going to see as many players playing in the ECHL, which is like we joke about, or I joke about wanting to have the team in Baltimore. I don't feel like we'd see all that many players that will make an NHL roster with the Capitals playing in Baltimore.
I don't know. I think we should get ourselves a LaPierre jersey and have it be for the South Carolina Stingrays. Maybe that'll help.
Well, he is going to end up either in Hershey or DC when the time comes. My guess is, I don't want to say anything because they might, you know, I would think he'd be with the Caps next year, but Because like, will he even be old enough to play? Isn't he like 12? Like, is he even be old enough to play in the AHL next year?
I think he's allowed, but his dad has to come as well.
Okay, yeah, no, he needs someone to drive him. Got it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough.
Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. Pick me up later.
See you after.
All right, hon, make good decisions. All right, well, hey, go Bears. Sorry, Stingrays. Sorry your season's over. Now let's go around the NHL and beyond. All right, here we go. There's plenty going on around the NHL and beyond. Coach Dan's going to catch us up. What's going on around the NHL and beyond?
Let's start in New York, where the Islanders and NHL great Mike Bossy passed away last Friday at the age of 65 after a battle with lung cancer. He played his entire career on the island, helping them win the Stanley Cup from 1980 to 1983 and scored 50 or more goals in each of his first 9 seasons. Montreal's Michael Pezzetta was suspended for 2 games for an illegal check to the head of the Caps' TJ Oshie. That's not very nice. And the Islanders' Matthew Barzal was fined $2,500 for unsportsmanlike conduct against Toronto's Mitch Marner. The National Hockey League Players Association announced this past Friday that its independent review of executive director... I never believe when anything is an independent review when it comes from like a professional sports league. I'm like, eh, nope. Sure, why not? And I'm probably just being overdramatic. Anyways, their independent review of executive director Donald Fair's handling of Kyle Beach's allegations of sexual abuse against former Blackhawks video coach. I don't want to say this clown's name. They said they found no individual, this is in quotes, individual wrongdoing or institutional failures of policy or procedure. Now, here is a statement released by Cozen O'Connor on its report. In sum, after a thorough examination of the contemporaneous, you know it's legit when they use a gigantic word that like 6 people in the world know.
Right.
Or everyone's just like, you're an idiot. Anyways, of the contemporaneous record, the policies and practices in place at the union at the time, this is hard to read, and the recollections of each of the parties to the contacts with the NHLPA or the SABH program, we cannot identify any individual wrongdoing or institutional failures of policy or procedure by either FAIR, NHLPA personnel, or the SABH program concerning the handling of Beach's reports. Beach's warnings about the D-bag, I'm going to call him, were not, this is not what they said, those are my words, were not addressed on account of miscommunication and misunderstanding rather than any individual or systemic failure. Brandon, your thoughts.
So, good job reading that statement. I wanted to make sure because when we were going over the notes, I wanted that whole statement to be in there because I just wanted everyone listening could really, you know, get a grasp of what is happening. So the way that I understood it is that they did this report of Donald Fair and of the NHL Players Association, and they were pretty much like, it wasn't because of any one individual person. It was because as a group, they didn't really understand what was happening, and there was miscommunication, and it wasn't because of like the system failed. It wasn't because of any individual not doing their job. It's a bunch of different factors. And I think, you know, the Players Association, I read an article as well that Kyle Beach wasn't really a part of the Players Association because he had not played an NHL game before. So they really didn't represent him anyway. I think this entire situation has been mishandled. I think that what happened to Kyle Beach is an absolutely horrendous thing. And he tried to warn them. I mean, Kyle Beach said that he talked to Donald Fair, or at least his lawyer did talk to Donald Fair, and told USA Hockey, don't hire this guy. He is a pedophile. And Donald Fair was transitioning into being the leader of the Players Association, and they're saying that that phone call either didn't happen, or they're saying that it was a misunderstanding of what Kyle Beach actually meant, that like he didn't go into detail of what happened at that point. So I think the only thing that I can say about this is that I hope that the Players Association for the NHL, as well as around the world, and coaches and GMs and bosses and anything like that, can look at this situation of what happened and make sure this never, ever, ever happens again. It's a horrendous thing that happened to Kyle Beach. And I thought it was important for us to bring up, at least keep his name at least in the news a little bit, so people don't forget what happened to him. And while I don't agree with the findings of this independent review, I understand what they're saying, that it was more miscommunication, more misunderstanding. I honestly want to believe that if Kyle Beach didn't come out and say this is exactly what happened to everyone, I mean, you're going to face being ridiculed for that. And it's terrible that that happens. But, you know, your career is going to be affected. People are going to treat you differently. They shouldn't, but they will. So, you know, when he says don't hire this person, he could be a threat. People probably didn't understand what he meant at the time. And it's unfortunate that the accusations and everything that happened weren't taken more seriously. It really is terrible. But let's hope that we can learn from this situation. Let's hope that Kyle Beach is okay now and that he's still so strong for coming forward and giving his story, because let's hope there is not another situation where there is something like this that happens to someone. We know that the Chicago Blackhawks found out about these allegations and then let them simmer until the cup was won. And there are things bigger than hockey and more important than hockey. And what happened to Kyle Beach was more important than hockey. It should have been taken more seriously. Should have been taken more seriously by the Players Association, by Donald Fair, by the Blackhawks, by everyone involved, because it's horrible that what happened to Kyle Beach, but it could have stopped with what happened to him. But because of misunderstandings and everything like that, this animal, this monster, was able to go other places and hurt other people. So let's just hope that even though this independent review came out and no one is found accountable for what happened, let's just hope that it never, ever happens again.
I think that was really well put. I don't know if I could add anything to it that would just anything I add would take away from what you just said. So, well done, sir.
Thank you.
Well done. The IIHF announced on Sunday that the Hungarian Ice Hockey Federation will hold an exhibition game between Hungary and the Ukraine to support the Ukraine Ice Hockey Federation in its preparations to participate in the 2022 IIHF Ice Hockey World Champion. Oh my, this is so long. World Championship Division 1 Group B.
That is the longest title ever.
Oh my God, try putting that on a medal or a t-shirt.
It's like Michael Scott's fun run for the Cure. It takes up the entire back of the t-shirt.
The game is scheduled to take place on April 22nd at the, I am not going to pronounce this right, Vasa Jegzentrum, maybe, in the Hungarian capital city of Budapest. The game will be streamed online on the Federation's YouTube channel.
Now, I got to tell you, I saw this. I thought this was really cool of the Hungarian team. They're raising money so the Ukrainian team can participate in this. So they're like trying to get the team to be able to have ice skates and sticks and jerseys and that kind of thing. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And it actually says on the website, you can go to this website and donate if you'd like to. And I'm like, I want to do that. That's kind of cool. I'll bring it up on the show. The website's in Hungarian. And it only accepts Hungarian money. So I got really confused really fast.
What's the website?
It's
all right. We'll throw it out there at the end. We'll add it to the show notes. How about that? Brandon's going to add it to the show notes.
We have show notes?
Are you at it? I don't know. They say it on another podcast that I listen to. You know, where it talks about what the show, where we write what's happening in the show this week. You throw that in there. I think it shows up at the bottom.
Oh, yeah. I've never done that before. It is cherrytickets.com. Oh, God. So yeah, go to our Facebook page. This is how we'll do it. Okay, go to our Facebook page. If you look at the Hockey Against War post that we shared from the IIHF, if you go to that link, and you can click on the cherry tickets. It's like charity tickets, but it takes you to this whole other thing. If you're in Hungary and you would like to donate, you buy a ticket there, and the money raised goes to the Ukraine team. You don't actually get a ticket to the game, but you quote unquote buy a ticket, and it's in Hungarian money.
Speaking of international hockey, Hockey Canada has named the management group and coaching staff for the upcoming World Championship with some familiar names. Shane Doan, formerly of the Coyotes, will lead Team Canada as general manager. He'll be joined on his management staff by assistant general manager Rick Nash. And behind the bench will be Claude Julien, who recently coached Team Canada in the Olympics. And finally, the World Championship will be held in Tampere and Helsinki, Finland, from May 13th to the 29th. Canada will open the tournament against Germany on May 13th at 1:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or 10:20 a.m. Pacific Time. That's the news from the past week in the NHL and beyond.
Now, given how Team Canada didn't really do well in the Olympics, like when you heard Claude Julien, if you're a Canadian, Ryan, what are your thoughts? Claude Julien is the coach again. Are you like, that didn't really work out a couple months ago? You think he's going to do any better? And who is playing on this team? So May 13th, so that means the NHL season will be over. So will they be allowed to have NHL players?
Yeah, they do this in the past, where if your team doesn't make the playoffs. That's
pre-COVID.
Or as they get... Yeah, because they're in the offseason now. So they'll bring in NHL players or guys when they get knocked out of the playoffs. Because remember, people used to always complain that when the Caps got knocked out of the playoffs, that like Ovechkin and Orlov would go run off to... or Varlamov, whoever, would go run off to play for the Russian team.
Not this year.
Well, so... Yeah, yes, players can go. I would imagine players can go and play.
But will they? Will they want to, with the way the BA2 variant is kind of going crazy right now, will they want to go over there? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see on May 13th. So, hey, coach, is that the show?
I think that's it, man.
All right. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash, and we're going to say, hey, what's up to our friend David? He tweeted at us and had a question about some of the nonsense that Coach Dan and I bring up on the show. He had a question about why we say the things we do, and it was always good to hear from podcast listeners. So David, how's it going, man? Thanks for listening to the show. But you can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related stuff when I have the opportunity to actually do so. I'm also on there talking about Arsenal Football Club and how their season is imploding at the moment. Also occasionally talking about the Bills, the embarrassment that is the Washington Commanders. Now Dan Snyder needs to go away so fast. Just get out of here. You're a bad person. Also on there talking about other things in the wide world of sports. That's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook. Brandon was talking about the Facebook page just a few minutes ago. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of other things related to the Washington Capitals, Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, and the National Hockey League. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Brandon, if people happen to be a fan of that purple-clad team based out of Baltimore in the NFL, is there a podcast they should be listening to?
That's right. You can go check out my podcast called The Call. Me and my buddy Josh, we talk all things Baltimore Ravens. And the draft is, I think it's next week. So we're definitely going to have a show here in the next week and a half to get ready for the draft. That's always a fun thing to watch in April. You're getting ready for the football season up against... it's usually a Caps game, like Caps Penguins on draft night or something. So I'm flipping back and forth. All right, are the Ravens picking yet? No. Okay, back to Ovi. See what's going on. But we'll have a show coming out shortly. Now, this show we do for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us over on Spotify, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's go over the games until we talk again. The schedule's kind of wonky for us, guys. So Coach Dan and I were talking, and we think we might do an early Monday show next week because that'll kind of split the six games that are left, 3-3. Because if we come back, there's only two games left. What are we going to talk about? New York or New York? So,
No. You gotta say it right.
New York and get a cup of coffee with DePaulie. Wonder what DePaulie's up to.
I'm going to look it up while you keep going.
All right, so let's go over the games until we talk again. On Wednesday, April 20th, the Caps are in Vegas, home of the Stanley Cup championship win back in 2018, home of the save by Braden Holtby. Vegas, that game is at 10 o'clock. You can watch that on NBC Sports Washington. Hey, there you go, AEW Dynamite, 8 to 10. Caps come on. 10 o'clock, you got your Wednesday night spent right there, Coach. There you go. And then on Friday, April 22nd, the Caps go to Arizona, and that game is at 10:30. You can watch that game on NBC Sports Washington. And then on Sunday, April 24th, the Caps are back home up against Toronto. That game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch that one on Hulu or ESPN Plus. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps!
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.